What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 176 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We got done watching the Stasis trailer from Gamescom opening night. We have a lot. They actually also put out a press kit that had a B-roll in it with some additional footage. So we have been studying it, poring over it, freezing it on specific frames, screenshotting things, taking notes. We're going to be doing a Stasis subtypes massive breakdown, or at least as massive of a breakdown as we can do, given the information that we have. They did say that in the first week of September, I believe, is it the first, the third, and the eighth or something like that, they're going to be talking about the Hunter, Warlock, and Titan as well. So we will have that to look forward to, but we would be remiss if we did not spend a ton of time talking about all the details that we saw in the trailers. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'm doing pretty fantastic. I've kind of taken a little bit of a mental break from Destiny this week, just kind of stepped back from the grind, as we still have a lot of time ahead of us for Season of the Awakening. Playing a little Magic the Gathering and kind of doing something completely different to reset. And boy, today has got me super excited to dive back into some Destiny this coming week. I think it was perfectly timed. How about you?
Yeah, we really needed it. It is definitely getting to that point in the season where things would be near wrapping up. We'd have 2 to 3 weeks left. We'd be done with the season. We'd start to be looking forward to the fall expansion. But of course, because it's delayed, that's not going to happen this year. So instead of looking forward to the fall expansion, we're looking forward to another 2.5 months of this season, basically. So it's definitely getting to the point where there's legitimately almost nothing left to do in the season at all. I've taken to just running strikes and playing PvP, and like you, I've taken a little bit of a break, right? Like, I've been playing a lot of Battlefront 2. I find that game to be really, really fun. I finished watching Star Wars Rebels.
Nice.
Actually, a really tremendously good show. Really, really loved it. And I actually finished watching Star Wars Resistance. Not as good of a show. It was not as terrible as I feel like the internet made me think it was going to be. But it was definitely not anywhere close to the same level as Rebels and Clone Wars, unfortunately. I watched it, like, I got to the point where I was like, I appreciate what this is and what it's doing, but I'm really just watching it so that I can be done and have watched it, right? And like know what went on in case there was any like canon stuff that was hidden away in there, but not really. I learned more about the First Order from watching Star Wars Resistance than I did from all three sequel movies, which I think speaks very poorly to both the sequel movies and Star Wars Resistance, because I didn't learn very much about the First Order from Star Wars Resistance. But like, you know, it's, yeah, it was a thing. I think we could just agree that that whole sequel portion of the universe is a little bit lacking when it comes to things that came before.
Yeah, I feel like we could just leave that one alone. Don't want to touch it with a 39.5-foot pole. Let's say that and move right along.
Yeah, speaking of Christmas cheer and all the fun things, Stasis is looking pretty cool. I guess we should probably get the housekeeping out of the way first. I don't believe we have any new Patreons this week, but
we do have a thank you to say, as ever, to Zen SoCal. Thank you so much for your ongoing sponsorship. Really appreciate you. Thank you, as always, to all of our ongoing patrons for your continued support, and thank you to you, our listeners, for tuning in and making this more than the two of us talking about Destiny. So, appreciate that.
Yeah. And we do have a new podcast review this week. It is from Francisco. It says, incredibly well-informed and eloquently communicated, 5 stars. The hosts are both very well-spoken and delivered the statistically heavy information in such a way that even a layman can understand and digest it. As a casual player whose skills are not anywhere near the top of the ladder, this podcast allows me the illusion of grandeur that the minutiae of weapon and class stats actually have an effect on my gameplay. I don't think that I'll ever get to the level of play that the hosts are at, but it lets me live vicariously through them, and I appreciate their hustle. Francisco, thank you very, very much for that review. We absolutely appreciate it. I think that was a very wonderful review, and I'm glad that you can live vicariously through us, but I have confidence in you that you will at some point be a better player than you are right now, especially if you keep listening. You will definitely improve.
Yeah, I wanted to say the same thing. I really appreciate that, but Francisco, don't give up. The magic was inside you all along. I'm going to tell you that preemptively, so when you get there later, it'll make sense.
We'll do a in the future we'll do a beginner basics breakdown like we've done at different points in the past. It'll probably be a good idea to wait until the next season, but
I don't know.
you
This
know with
is
the content drought we
this
have
is a
right
long season.
now.
I think it's about time. I was thinking about that for this week, to be honest with you. I was like, they
Yeah,
don't give us
it's fortunate we
something.
had the stasis reveal. So yeah, we'll do another one of those where it's like a bunch of beginner tips and tricks, because I mean the wonderful thing about Destiny, because of the way the game plays, is like the learning curve is pretty gradual at first. Like you can make pretty big jumps in your gameplay just by doing, you know, a handful of really simple things, right? And if you were to try to learn them on your own without any helpful guides or anything like that, it might take you a long time. But there's, you know, a checklist of things that you can run through in your head. It's kind of There's a lot of sports that are like this, like golf and tennis are kind of like this, but like when you first start playing, you're just absolutely straight garbage, no matter what. And then usually an instructor or teacher will tell you, like, here's four things that you should do. Keep your feet planted, keep your arms straight, keep your eyes on the ball, something like that, right? And as soon as you start doing those four things well, the jump in your gameplay is immediate, right? Destiny is the same way. There's a handful of things that if you just do them, your gameplay will leap up significantly, and then you can focus the time on the stats and the perks and the weapons and your aim and things like that. So
I like that analogy. That's very different from the sports that I play, where it's just literally a grind for years to get marginal gains. That being running and soccer, there is no short checklist. You start off pretty okay, and then you just spend the rest of your life trying not to suck. Anyway,
Well,
Destiny is not like that, though. It really isn't.
golf has the long grind, but it comes after you hit a certain point,
Yeah.
right? Like, it's what is it that I think it's like the difference between like skiing and snowboarding. Like, one of them, you know, the first day you're just gonna suck massively, but then as soon as you pick it up, you're just kind of like golden for the rest of the time. And the other one, like, you're gonna be fine your first day, but you're literally never going to be where you feel like you're good at it, right? It's like those type of things where one of them is like, ah, oh, you know, you're everybody can kick a fucking soccer ball, you
Yeah.
know, not necessarily well, but everybody can go out there and kick a soccer ball. Everybody can go run. You might not be able to run very far, but in order to be like a marathon runner or a professional soccer player, like you said, it's a grind nonstop. But with golf, like I can take someone out to the golf course for the first time ever, and in a day or 2 days, have them like hitting the ball, not with consistency, but you know. The first time they try to hit the ball, it's a nightmare. It's like really, really bad. And then it's like keep your arms straight, keep your feet planted, like, you know, do
Yeah.
all these things, and it's like, wow, there you go, you hit the ball. Like we can go to the driving range now. So Destiny is kind of on that side of things, where, you know, granted, there is a lot you can do once you've gotten good, where you're like trying to refine your game, but why bother? Because Destiny is not a super competitive shooter, right? Like go play Valorant or like CS:GO or Overwatch or something.
Yeah, I mean, I boy, see, now I'm looking forward to digging into this, because you're right, that's a super good analogy. There's a checklist of gameplay things you can do, and there's a checklist of things that you can do before you even load into the game to set yourself up to just have a better time. We've talked about that stuff before, so certainly, you know, maybe visit the SoundCloud, check out the Get Good playlist, but we'll revisit it with our updated experiences as we've, I think, hopefully both improved as players in the intervening years and learned a few new tricks along the way.
I think it's also more that we just have a lot of new listeners,
Yeah.
and it's like, you know, every year we should kind of just refresh those things because we learn some stuff, but also our podcast just gets better in quality as time goes on. And like, our podcast has, unfortunately, but it like has a shelf life, right? Like, you can't, some podcasts, like the Star Trek podcast I listen to, I can go back and listen to their first episode, and it doesn't really matter that I'm listening to their first episode because the stuff they're talking about is timeless. But for us, like our podcast has a shelf life, and it's pretty much the season in which the episode is released.
Yeah.
You know, after that, you cannot really guarantee that the episode is going to you know, be relevant because of sandbox changes and subclass changes and things like that. So it's like, you know, unfortunately, our episodes kind of do have a shelf life, and because of that, I don't think there's any shame in going back and revisiting things that we've discussed in the past because there's almost always stuff to update.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody's really going back and listening to episode 27 of the Massive Breakdown podcast. You know, as much as I would like them to do that, but I wouldn't do it myself. I think those episodes are probably terrible quality. I know the first few are like embarrassingly bad.
Just the sound quality, not the content. Anyway, let's get back on
That was
track.
back when we had three hosts. That was back when we had three hosts. So it was a very different podcast back then.
So we've just hit 10 minutes, which I think marks the end of our housekeeping.
That's not bad comparatively. 10 minutes is actually pretty good. We've gone much, much further than 10 minutes before breaking into the episode.
Massive breakdown of our cold opens. They're all terrible. But anyway,
At least we don't do like a skit, right? Like
that's
some
true.
podcasts do like a skit at the beginning. It could be worse, guys. Trust me, it could be
It
worse.
could be
But yeah, I
us
mean,
doing a skit.
so when we move into Stasis, I highly recommend that you guys go find the press kit on Bungie. If you just scroll down to, if you go to bungie.net and you just scroll down
I'll tweet
at the
this.
bottom, at the bottom there is a link for press kits. It takes you to a Dropbox where they have their press kits for every release that they've done for Destiny 2, including this one. Inside of this press kit are a bunch of screenshots that are beautiful for your desktop backgrounds. But also there is a B-roll for the Stasis trailer that we saw in the Gamescom stream. It is a B-roll that does not have any music over it. It's just the sound effects themselves and some extra footage that was not in the trailer. It gives you a better view of actual gameplay as opposed to like the cinematic, Jesus. I don't know why I couldn't say that word. The cinematic stuff that's in like the trailer itself. So I highly recommend doing that because that combined with the actual trailer itself is where we're pulling all of these things that we've noticed, things that we're going to be talking about. So, I guess we should start at the beginning with the general stuff. This is Stasis. It is a subclass of the Dark. There's going to be a new subclass for each, the Hunter, the Warlock, and the Titan. The Titan is called Behemoth, the Warlock is called Shadebinder, and the Hunter is called Revenant. They clarified on Bungie.net, which now has a stasis page, that there are three main aspects of stasis. There is a field, which slows enemies down. Think of like the spider mines that the Fallen use. There is a freeze effect, which actually immobilizes the enemies and freezes them. And then there is a shatter effect. And when an enemy that is frozen shatters, it actually does AoE damage around the
Yeah.
enemy. It sends shards out that can shatter other enemies or damage other enemies. So those are the three main things. And also, No Time to Explain is coming back, which is just something that they kind of throw in there at the end, which is nice. And they're no longer called Orbs of Light. They are now called Orbs of Power, which I guess makes sense because this is not a light subclass, this is a dark subclass. So that's the general stuff. Keikachu, what did you think? Just right off the bat, what did you think of this trailer?
So I thought a couple of things. First impression, as ever, Bungie's trailer game is on point. If I was just like paying to watch trailers and I had to pick a company's trailers to watch, Bungie would be on that list. They always kick butt, I think, with their production. Two, some of these powers look really cool and very, very interesting, and very much I think will change the battlefield that we engage on. And some of these powers look somewhat familiar, and I think will be very similar in feel to some of the existing stuff that we have. I think those were the two kind of big takeaways for me, is there's like, A, it's just gorgeous, and I'm just excited to have new environments, new graphics, new effects to play with. And then B, it's an interesting mix of strange and the familiar. Yeah. How about you?
I mean, first thing I noticed, Europa just looks incredible. It looks beautiful and it looks massive and varied. Like, there's a whole bunch of different things that we're going to be able to see. We saw some clips that look like they were in the Prophecy Dungeon. And then we saw some stuff that looked like it was in the, like a Hive Throne World. And then we saw some Fallen stuff and we saw some Vex stuff and we saw some human stuff. And it really just seemed like a best of. Like it very much made me think of one of my favorite locales ever, which was the D1 Mars. where you could walk throughout the buildings and things like that. Like that's my favorite type of location in Destiny, is the location that shows the remnants of humanity.
Yeah.
And in particular, humanity's golden age. Like that's the stuff I love to see. I don't really like Io. I'm not a tremendously huge fan of Nessus, but like I love Titan, and I loved Mars, and I loved Venus, and I really, really think that I'm gonna like Europa a whole lot. Doesn't have anything to do with stasis, but that was like the first thing that struck me, along with, of course, the fact that the trailer is just incredible, like you said, as always. But I was just like looking at the Europa screenshots in the press kit and in the trailer, and I was like, oh my God, this place is like Europa's one of the places that we were thinking about back in D1 when we saw early concept art. To finally get to go there is very, very awesome. So I'm stoked about that. The second thing, I felt the same way you did. It was like, wow, some of this stuff is really cool and really unique. And the Titan super looks just like the super they already have, but with ice. It's like, oh, okay. So, like, I know we haven't seen everything yet, but the animations and the way the super worked, at least, well, there were two different ways that it looked like the super worked, and both of them looked exactly like how Titan supers work right now. So that was a little bit jarring because the Warlock super and the Hunter super were very, very different from how they, at least how they appear right now. Before we get into talking about these specific subclasses that we saw, did you see anything in general that stuck out to you about the stasis abilities? I mean,
So I think I still maintain my concerns about how they're going to compete with effects that just do straight damage. That said, the stasis field grenade that we saw, when I saw that, I gotta be honest, I had a little bit of a Neo moment, right? It was just like, whoa. Like that could be a game changer right there. That had a huge area of effect. If that makes it into actual gameplay, that's gonna be some strong neutral game that I'm gonna have a hard time saying no to.
yeah, my concern is it could go like one of two ways, right? Like slowing players down and hindering player mobility is one of the most frustrating things as a player to deal with, having your mobility cut down,
Yep.
especially in a game like Destiny that's so heavily predicated on mobility. So the way I look at it is one of two things. If the stasis affects the field and the freeze are too easily triggered, then it is going to be extremely, extremely annoying to play against. Like, for example, if every time a freeze melee hits you, it freezes you, right? Like, that might as well be a one-hit kill. Because if you're frozen, there's nothing you can do and you're gonna die, right? And we don't have any melees in the game, with the exception of the shoulder charges that are, and I guess the one-hit throwing knife that are, like, just straight out one hit kills. So then you have to ask yourself the question, like, okay, well, it probably can't be, I mean, I guess the way I think they're gonna do it is it will only freeze you solid if you are below a certain health value, right? Like, if you are below 100 health, then it will freeze you solid, because then a grenade would have killed you anyways, right? So then it's like less frustrating then, because it's like, oh shit, the grenade's at my feet. You look, you have no shields. You're like, well, if this was an incendiary grenade, it would kill me. But because it's a stasis grenade, I'm now frozen. The trade-off is that if they don't kill you and you thaw out, then you survive. But, so then I could see how it would kind of be a little bit balanced, right? Because the player who's frozen is thinking, oh shit, I'm frozen, but at least I'm not dead. Whereas the player who used it is like, hell yeah, I just froze somebody. I'm gonna go kill them, right? Like, that's the trade-off. On the other side of that, like, if that health threshold is too low and it's really hard to freeze people in PvP, then it becomes useless, because it's like, why would I bother freezing someone when I could just kill them with a normal, a normal daily? So there's like a really, 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 really fine line to where stasis abilities are either going to be totally useless because other stuff just flat out does more damage, or they're going to be incredibly frustrating because they completely immobilize players, perhaps too easily. And I'm hoping that they are going to be able to ride that line really well. But I am worried for PvE. I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah.
But for PvP, I'm very, very worried that they're going to be a little bit. I would prefer them be a little bit on the weaker side as opposed to a little bit on the stronger side. because people are going to be using it just for fun because it's new. But, you know, if it's a little bit on the stronger side and people are using it, we're going to end up with a Taken King, you know, Solar Hammers problem where it's like the only thing you see in PvP for a few months.
So I'm really hoping that they are able to leverage these abilities to give us some more tactical tools for area control on the battlefield, because that I think is something that Destiny could use more of, some more tactical gameplay. That I think can be fun. Like you said, though, there's a line to ride there, and I think the other consideration that we have to keep in mind is, you know, with the melees, for example, right? Titans, you know, maybe they'll get a freeze melee, and that's going to have to be balanced against the shoulder charge. And it's like, boy, that's a tough thing to balance against, right? Because you've already got a one-hit kill melee option. So if you're going to ask somebody to swallow a melee that's weaker, then they need to have some other benefit to that subclass that makes them say, well, the melee is not quite as good, but it still freezes people. And I also get this other stuff. And that's going to be, I think, the real question is, what does the total package look like? Not just on a 1-to-1, is this melee good enough or bad enough? That it's not going to piss people off more than it's fun, but is it going to fit into a package that makes sense in terms of, some people will choose this over what's existing, and some people will not.
It is worth noting that we are getting pickable melee, or like we are getting pickable subclasses, not subclass clusters for the first time. So it may be that at some point in the future it will go back to choose your melee, choose your super, choose your grenade, choose your jump, choose your perks, right? It may go back to that. These subclasses are going to be individually chosen. They're not going to be clusters. They did confirm that.
Oh, okay.
So you are at least within the subclass going to have the ability to choose things. So I like that you brought up shoulder charge because it's a really good, like, just doing one-to-one balancing. Let's look at it right now. So Titans right now have shoulder charge, which is a one-hit kill, but it requires you to be sprinting, right? They also have their other normal melee, which is just a punch that does like 120 damage, and you know it has some other effect. I don't even know what the other Titan. I don't even what does the other Titan melee even do? All I ever see is people shoulder. I don't even know what it does. So.
There's a throwing hammer.
Yeah, but
That's
let's
about the only other
jeez.
one I've like seen recently. But anyway.
Okay, well let's use the throwing hammer for an example, right? So you've got the hammer strike, which is a shoulder charge, which is a one hit kill, right? And then you've got the throwing hammer, which does 100 and something damages, not a one hit kill, right? But it's ranged. So if you're gonna take a freeze melee and you're gonna put it in there, right? If it's not like a shoulder charge, like it doesn't require some type of weird activation, right? And it is just a punch and it freezes someone. No matter how much health they have, like the effect of it is just you punch someone and it freezes someone. It immediately becomes extraordinarily powerful,
Yeah.
right? Because you don't have to be sprinting, so you can just do a normal activation, and freezing someone is basically a guaranteed kill. So it now becomes stronger than shoulder charge and so much stronger than the throwing hammer. Because you don't have to aim it, you don't have to do anything, right? So it immediately becomes so okay, you say, all right, well, we can't have it just freeze anyone at all. So maybe you say, well, if they have less than 100 health, you freeze them, right? Well, then it's like, well, that means it's basically useless against half the players that you run into, and both the other melees become better than it, right? So you're like, okay, well, maybe we'll do it like a shoulder charge, but it's a shoulder charge that freezes someone instead of killing them. Well, it's like, then the question is, well, why wouldn't I just use shoulder charge then? Because shoulder charge just kills them outright. It's like, what's the point of me freezing them when I could just kill them outright? You see, so there's all these weird places where they're gonna have to look at the melees they already have, the grenades they already have, and they're going to have to say, okay, well, this grenade is this hard to use but offers this much reward. This grenade is this easy to use and offers way less reward. So we have to make sure that we place it. If it's really hard to use, then it needs to offer a lot of reward. If it's really easy to use, then it needs to offer not very much reward. And like they're going to have to find a way to slot it in to the existing sandbox. And I'm worried that they may slot it in the wrong place, and we end up with like all I have to do is punch someone and they freeze. Like the closest example of that we have right now is probably the Blade Dancer melee, where you punch someone and it disorients them, right? And it dis no matter as long as your melee is charged, doesn't matter how much health they have, it disorients them, right? And that's pretty annoying because you're disoriented, but you can still move, you can still shoot, right? Now imagine that a Blade Dancer punches you and just freezes you to the ground right there. Like, that's not going to be fun to play against. That's going to be super frustrating to play against. So, how do you balance it? And that's the question they're going to have to answer. And we're not going to know. We can't know how it's balanced off of the trailer. All we can do is kind of guess.
Yeah, I think there's going to be just a long list of those questions. And it's at this point I to talk any more about the freeze melee is just to dive into reckless speculation. Even
We
for
basically
us.
have to assume that they did balance them correctly
Yeah.
in order for us to talk about them now. But yeah, so the Titan, the Behemoth, we do know that the super is called, at least the ground pound super that shoots out like three lines of ice and builds these ice bricks at the end, and then you also get a shoulder charge. So it looks like the ground pound doesn't kill stuff immediately around you; it just freezes them. And then your shoulder charge is what you use to actually like shatter the people that you've frozen. It's called Glacial Quake, and the tagline is like crash like an avalanche. We actually saw three different kind of variations, so you can tell when something is a super being used because the entire character gets covered in ice, right? There are also other effects that they use that do not cover the entire character in ice, like melees and like grenades. But when the entire character is covered in ice, it means they're in their super. So we saw three things like that. We saw what looks like the current bottom tree, Fist of Havoc, where it smashes onto the ground and then he like runs around shoulder charging. And the ground smash sends out like a three-pronged ice wall, basically. And then the shoulder charge shatters everything. We saw a launch attack that looks kind of like Code of the Missile right now, where he like lifts off the ground and attacks something. And then we also saw something that was just shown kind of in one of the cinematic looks, but it was like a two-fist ground pound, where he's not jumping up in the air, he's on the ground, and both of his fists get covered in ice and he punches down into the ground. We never actually saw that in action, so I'm not sure if that was just like a cool cinematic thing that they made,
Yeah, hard to
or
say.
yeah, maybe it's like an effect, or maybe it's a specific type of attack in one of those two supers, or maybe it is purely the activation of one of the supers. Right. But yeah, and it's also worth noting that in the HUD there's actually a buff called Crystalline Plating while they were in their super, and we don't know what that is, but it did pop up on the side of the screen on the HUD.
Reasonable to assume some kind of armor buff. It's I find it interesting though, since every super gets some kind of damage reduction, almost every super, but they don't get any kind of visible buff. So it leaves me wondering, will other supers now have some kind of buff noted in the HUD, or is this some kind of special buff where maybe the Titan is getting some kind of resistance to other stasis powers.
Yeah, I would imagine it's probably something special.
Very
Yeah.
curious that it was called out like that. So yeah, leading, I guess if we're kind of talking about the Titan, maybe we can kind of see toward Hunter here a little bit because they both have that same grenade as far as we can tell, right? It looked to me like they both threw the ice wall grenade.
Yeah, at least we saw the Titan in PvP and the Hunter in PvE. They both threw an ice wall grenade on the ground, which built cover or built platforms that they could jump on depending on where they threw it. So we know, I have a feeling that all the subclasses are going to share the same three grenades.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we also saw that the Hunter and the Warlock both had a stasis grenade. So this one happened to be used in PvP both times. I assume it's easier to use stasis in PvP, or it's easy to show stasis in PvP. But the Warlock throws a stasis grenade at a Golden Gun Hunter and slows him down. And the Hunter throws a stasis grenade at a Warlock and a Titan and then uses the melee to kill them both. So we've at least seen a wall building grenade. We've seen a stasis grenade. I would assume that there's probably one more type of grenade that they're going to give us. I would imagine it would be something like shatter, right? Because it seems like we have freeze and it seems like we have stasis, and shatter is the third thing. So I would imagine it will probably be like an incendiary grenade, but with ice, where it's like a frag grenade, basically, where it like blasts ice crystals everywhere. I would assume that that would be what it's going to be.
Well, that would make a lot of sense to me because the one thing that the stasis classes seem to lack so far is a lot of direct damage, and I feel like that's something that would kind of fill that gap, some kind of a fragmentation style grenade. And I would agree with you. I think we're definitely going to see the same grenades across all three new subclasses. I was excited to see a rather unique melee on the Hunter. That was really cool to watch.
How is this pronounced? I mean, I'm gonna call them throwing stars, but there's a specific Japanese is like shuriken or.
Yeah, the shuriken. Shuriken's the Americanized pronunciation. Shuriken's probably closer to.
I promise you, I have no idea how it's actually pronounced.
Yeah.
So don't worry about me Americanizing or not. I literally saw the word and it was like, I've never heard that word spoken before. I'm gonna assume it's shuriken or something like that.
That would be actually more phonetically correct, but shuriken is how it's generally pronounced.
Well, that's what it is. So, well, before we move on to Hunter, is there anything else you want to say about Titan? How did you feel about what you saw the Titan was able to do? How'd you feel about it in general?
I mean, honestly, it felt really familiar. For me, the Titan felt like it was an ice striker, in a lot of ways. I guess it'll be up to Bungie to differentiate it. The grenade certainly will be a differentiator. But beyond that, yeah, not a lot of uniqueness that I saw. I guess we'll find out more on September 3rd about the Titan. So I'm looking forward to that coming up real quick.
Yeah, we'd be remiss if we didn't say that it did look very, very similar. I mean, I'm not ready to take out my pitchfork and light a torch at this exact moment because, I don't care about Hunter or I don't care about Titans. I care about Hunters, and looks like Hunter's got something really awesome. No, well, I mean, I trust that there will be enough differentiating it to where even if the super is very similar, the subclass will play very differently.
Yeah.
I trust that there will be enough. Is it slightly disappointing that it looks so similar? Yeah, it is slightly disappointing that it looks so similar, but I say this, when you look at the Hunter Super, interestingly, it is actually Blade Barrage.
Yeah.
So the ice picks, it's actually we can make the transition to Hunter. I actually think that was a good transition right there. Didn't even mean to do it. It was just an accident, a happy accident. So the Hunter is called Revenant. The Super is called Silence and Squall, and the tagline is "Bring the Storm," but it's two ice picks that it summons, and it throws one overhand and it throws one sidearm. It is the same timing and very close to the same animation style that Blade Barrage uses, where it throws five and then it throws another five. And it is a similarly one and done type super. From what we could see, it was a one and done type super. And it looks like the ice picks actually bounce around targets, kind of like the Sentinel Shield does. It bounced around targets and then it left these little ice whirlwinds that continue to do AoE damage. Interestingly, it also appeared that there was a second super. There was a ground pound, kind of like OG Fist of Havoc, or like Well of Radiance, where it slammed an ice pick into the ground and froze and shattered everything in a radius around the Hunter. And I do believe that that's a super and not a melee because the character was covered in ice crystals when it activated it.
So, I think it's possible that I think there's two different possibilities that could explain that. I think one, when I saw the sort of the thrown ice pick activation, I think both times I saw that happen, the Hunter was in the air. And so I'm wondering if this is just if the Hunter's in the air, the ice picks get thrown. If the Hunter's on the ground when the super's activated, it hits AoE right there. It's possible also that there are, in fact, two different super options for each of these subclasses, and we just haven't seen the ones for the other two.
Yeah, and it could also be like you do when you're in a Warlock Sleeper. You hold down B and it ground slams, and, you know.
Yeah.
Like maybe you hold down B instead of just tapping B, and it's, you know, just a different type of activation. We really don't know, but it did look very, very different. Both of them appeared to be one and done. Because I was watching the HUD of the Hunter when it activated Silence and Squall, and it immediately consumed the entire super. And it wasn't like they pressed it once, and then they pressed it a second time to throw the next one. They pressed it once, it immediately consumed the entire super, and then it threw two Ice Picks. So that was pretty interesting. It also had double melees. I'm not sure if that was an exotic perk or a subclass perk, but the little throwing stars, it had two charges of the throwing stars. Like I said earlier, we saw it for a fact throw a stasis grenade in PvP. And we also saw that the throwing stars, they don't seem to be one-hit kills on their base damage, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because they track, and they seem to have sentinel shield-like tracking where they will bounce off walls to a target or bounce off of targets to other targets.
Yeah.
So if they're going to be that easy to use, they better not do a ton of damage.
Yeah, the first time I saw it activated in PvE, I had to go back and rewatch, because for a moment I thought it was like a boomerang where you throw it and then catch it and you can do it again. It was it's pretty cool to watch in action, and it definitely looks like it's going to have a great deal of usefulness. Especially if you can combine it, you know, like they demoed there, stasis field grenade, follow it up with the ice pick, or the ice shuriken melee, and then you've got easy pickings. So some very cool abilities. I'm really excited to see a hunter get a melee that I can not have to aim in PvP.
What did you think about the Hunter overall, then, from what you saw?
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the super felt fairly familiar. Albeit the ground slam was a little something new. For hunters, we're not used to hitting things that hard. So, have to maybe get some wrist guards on, make sure we don't break them. But, other than that, I liked that the melee looked extremely different. Not extremely different. I mean, all our melees are ranged, right? But it was yet another take on a ranged melee. And so it added, you know, yet another tool to that toolbox. And for me, that was different enough. For me, that got me kind of excited to tinker and play with it. So, how about you?
Yeah, I felt the same. I felt that it was different, but familiar in a good way, which is different than the Titan. The Titan was familiar in a way that it was like, I don't know about this. The Hunter was like, this is very much a Hunter, but it's also very unique for what the Hunter has done so far. I mean, I'm glad that we're getting one-off supers, like one single-use supers, because I actually feel like the Roaming Super has become overly used in Destiny 2. I think they've leaned far too heavily into Roaming Supers. I think Roaming Supers are bad for the game overall. Especially with the strength that they have. So I'm glad that hunters are getting what looks to be single-use supers, hopefully shutdown supers, because that's something that the hunters kind of been missing since Blade Barrage was horrendously decimated with those Shards of Galenor nerfs and its damage nerf. So I'm hoping that the new Silence and Squall will be, you know, what Golden Age Blade Barrage was, if not better. Or, you know, I would love to see the ground slam attack be equivalent to Fist of Havoc.
Yeah.
Because that'd be freaking awesome for a hunter to be able to act like a Titan and do a Fist of Havoc. And for hunters to become these super shutdown things, which the Night Stalkers are not, because Night Stalkers tether is garbage. So it would be awesome to actually be able to shut down supers as a hunter. So, I mean, I'm really, really excited about Revenant. I'm already in my head. Plus, I love Sentinel Shields. Like, out of all the other subclasses, Sentinel is probably one of my favorite subclasses to play, especially with Doomfang Pauldrons, where you can basically just chuck shields and get back shield energy. And I love throwing those shields because the tracking on them is so generous that if these throwing stars are anything like the Sentinel shields, which they look very much like it, I'm going to spec everything I possibly can into making those things do as much damage as they can. And then that's going to be like the focus of my gameplay.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm pretty pumped to play with those. It's finally a reason to spec hardened strength for me. The one shot throwing knives just isn't enough. It's that's a grind skill, hitting those throwing knives consistently.
I saw Holden go to four piece the other day, so he surpassed me. I was able to get a three piece a couple of times, and I saw him get a four piece in a game. So
Oof.
I probably shouldn't have done it, but I pointed out, I was like, you got to try the Assassin's Cowl like throwing knife thing, because I knew that that was like his type of challenge that he likes to do, and I think he's definitely bought into it because he's been using it a decent amount in PvP. So.
Savages. Well, speaking of savages, let's talk about warlocks.
Yep, the Shadebinders, man, they got a spooky name. Their tagline is Fracture with Frost. So we saw, as we mentioned earlier, we saw that they have a stasis grenade. We also saw that they apparently have a freezing rift, a rift that they can drop, which freezes people around them, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm excited to see like I feel like that rift has to have some other effect, like some kind of beneficial effect that maybe isn't apparent as yet in the video, or maybe somebody noticed something that I didn't. It's possible also that it's simply a rift that is harmful. I guess it's could be the inverse of their existing rift super. And that would be fine too. It's something we already like dropping rifts on bosses. Why not drop one that freezes any adds that spawn around the boss?
Yeah, it could pair it with a Vesper of Radius or whatever, which does damage. It sends out a little electric shock, and maybe it'll actually one-hit stuff when you use your rift, which would be really funny.
So that'd be. I mean, that's that right there. I think is a nice change, right? It's a familiar ability, but it does something different. And I think that's the kind of thing, like when we were talking about the Titan, not to talk trash about the Titan, right? But it didn't. It was a lot of familiar abilities that did basically the same thing. And so I think that's where the Warlock for me stood out a little bit more in that it seemed a little bit more like a new class. I was gotta be honest, I was a little confused by some of the clips that I saw with Warlock where it seemed like they were able to cause enemies that other players had frozen to spontaneously fracture. And I wasn't sure what was going on with that. I wasn't sure if that was some kind of melee ability,
I think that's the super.
or it's the
I think,
super.
yeah, I think the warlock, I think part of the attack in their super is that they can detonate frozen enemies. They can basically just instant kill enemies that are frozen, which would be an awesome way to team up with other supers that have the freeze ability. You just run around and you just press a button and instant kill everything in a radius that's frozen. I think that's pretty neat, but I'm pretty sure that's a super effect.
Okay.
Because both times, again, the character was covered in the ice crystals,
And
so.
holding that staff, that obviously isn't a new weapon.
Although the staff is seen in a couple of screenshots when the character is not frozen, and in the PvP portion of the game, the warlock throws a stasis grenade on a golden gun hunter, which slows it down, and then it pushes the staff forward and shoots out what looks like a little. Looks like celestial fire, kind of, and it freezes the hunter when it hits it. But then it immediately pulls out a sniper rifle and snipes the hunter and kills it, right? So I don't think it was in its super. So I think what that was is a stasis grenade and I think a ranged freezing melee ability that was. So I believe that that's what it is. So, that would be interesting if it's like a celestial fire, but it freezes you. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. That's potentially better than Celestial Fire, depending on the exact implementation. And it's again, I feel like it's another ability that feels similar, but it does something different, and that's definitely enough to get me curious.
Yeah, the Warlock looks really, really cool. The Warlock, the super obviously also has the ability to just shoot out these balls that it looked like multiple balls at once. It looked like it shot like four out at once, that froze enemies that it hit. So maybe the melee is like a toned down version of that, where it just shoots out a single one and the super shoots out a bunch of them all at once. And then you can basically just crush everything that's been frozen. The Warlock, honestly, to me, looked like about the most unique and about the most fun. It did not look very much like any other Warlock super that we've seen so far.
Yeah.
And just the ability to detonate frozen enemies to me seems like it'll be particularly fun.
It's pretty cool, can't lie. And I'm really curious if we're gonna see people try to use it that ability strategically in terms of freezing enemies and leaving them frozen, waiting for somebody else to come running by, and then using the detonation to get an extra kill. I could see that being obviously super useful for ad clear in PvE, but I guess I'm a little curious to see, how it works in PvP, if there's a way to kind of manipulate that to get even more advantage out of it.
Yeah, and again, this the Celestial Fire comparison to the freezing melee that we saw, this is another good place to talk about how you're going to balance it. Like Celestial Fire does, like 150 damage or something like that if you hit all three of them. It's ranged, which is pretty nice. So this one, imagine even if it only does 10 damage, but it freezes someone immediately. Like that's already pretty much better than Celestial Fire, because Celestial Fire is only going to kill someone if they're damaged. If someone's frozen, they're pretty much dead. Like that's in the way PvP works. If you're frozen, for more than, I mean, if you're frozen for more than a second and a half, you're probably dead, right?
That's pretty
So it's
generous,
like,
even.
yeah, because I mean, think about the time to kill of guns in PvP right now, right? If I hit you with a melee and you can't move for a second, then I'm probably gonna kill you. So, if it freezes anyone that it hits, then and its range, then we m then that might just be incredibly, incredibly good, right? However, if it only freezes people that are under a certain health threshold, like where do you set that health threshold at to make it? So again, it's not our job to balance this stuff. It's just the questions that I have whenever I see abilities like this, because Crucible will not be fun if everyone is easily frozen by any ability. Like if any ability easily freezes someone just by touching them, Crucible is not going to be very fun. Simultaneously, if it's too hard to freeze people, then they won't be very good. So we'll have to see. It's just, this is the stuff I think about.
I mean, one thing that, if they do end up using it, some kind of damage threshold to determine whether or not it freezes somebody, I have a feeling that could end up making some hand cannon users very happy, because hand cannons could end up being an extremely easy way to hit that threshold. One tap, freeze somebody, finish them off at your leisure. So just kind of, I guess, thinking ahead, if that's the mechanic, some of the higher impact hand cannons could be big money.
Interestingly, what it looked like, I thought I may have seen this in PvE when they were trying to freeze some of like the higher health targets. What it looked like is that when it hit them, it was a DOT effect basically, where it like slowed them down and started to crystallize them. But then if it didn't drop them to, a certain health value, they just didn't freeze, right? Like they may have been slowed or they may have been, suppressed or something, but they weren't completely frozen. They just started to get some ice crystals over them, but they could still move and they could still shoot and everything. But the targets that were immediately one hit killed, instead of just being one hit killed, they were frozen in place, right? So like if you hit a red bar with the attack, it would just immediately freeze the red bar because the attack would have killed it normally.
Right.
But if you hit a yellow bar, it kind of like it was kind of more like the stasis thing on the yellow bar, where it like partially froze it but not completely froze it. And so it may be something like that too, right? Like if the attack was going to kill you, then you're frozen. If the attack was not going to kill you, then you're slowed. And that's what it is.
That could be.
I really don't know. I'm stoked for early September, man. I can't wait for the more detailed analysis. And they also have a they have an interview tomorrow, which is going to be Friday for those of you here in America, That's a 15-minute long interview, but they've already told us don't expect anything crazy out of it. It's not a reveal or anything. It's just to talk about what we've already seen. So I think early September is going to be the first we really, really get to dive deep into these subclasses.
Yeah, and just I guess a reminder, I think we said it before, but Warlock is September 1st, Titan September 3rd, Hunter September the 8th. So we are going to have lots of new stuff to talk about. They've timed that perfectly so we can talk about Warlock and Titan next week, and we'll have a whole week to talk just about Hunters. I mean, come on, people, you got to be excited for us. It's like a dream come true.
Well, it's because they knew that we wanted to devote a whole episode to Hunters, and that we really only needed a few minutes for Titans and
That's
Warlocks
true.
each. So,
True.
he gave us the master class.
Okay, well, No Time to Explain is back. Do we want to talk about that gun?
I mean,
Or do we
what was
not
it
have time?
in D1? I mean, yeah, don't have time to explain. I don't have time to explain. In D1, it didn't just return precision hits to the mag. Basically, was the functionality of what it
Yeah.
did.
Yep, it was essentially just a pulse rifle version of Whisper of the Worm.
Yeah, it had head seeker, it had full auto, and it had rewind again, which precision hits are immediately returned to the magazine. So it wasn't one of the best guns to ever exist. It wasn't one of the worst guns to ever exist. It was just a gun. It was a fun gun to get. The quest was particularly enjoyable. Got to give me Praedith and everything like that. So now we're gonna probably get it straight from the XS Stranger.
Yeah.
Not even gonna have to go through a middleman.
Yeah, I'm excited. Then speaking of, I'm very excited again to have the Exo Stranger back in the game, despite claims that her story was over. I'm pumped to get more of it. So the story, man, they didn't give us any more story this time, and that's fine. They've already teased it pretty effectively. But watching the gameplay, I'm that much more excited to go and experience the story.
Well, speaking of the XS Stranger, we actually it looks like we have a little headquarters on Europa that we're going to be able to go to. There's some screenshots of the XS Stranger, the Drifter, and Eris standing around a campfire next to like a tent. And there's also pictures of player characters like inside the tent. So it looks like we may have a little social space on Europa to go to where all of them maybe act as a vendor, or maybe they chat with us, or maybe they're just there hanging out, getting warm by the fire. But I am so incredibly stoked for Beyond Light and for going to Europa. Like, it feels like it has been so long since I have explored an entirely new location, right? Because like Dreaming City and Tangled Shore were new, and then for Shadowkeep we got the moon, but we'd already had the moon, so it wasn't really like I was exploring a brand new location. Like, there was some new stuff, but I'd already been there. It feels like it's been so long since I've been to a new location, and I am incredibly excited to get to get on Europa. The only thing that can make me happier is if, for some miracle they sent us to Old Chicago, which is one of the other things that they talked about, way back when there was like concept art for Old Chicago. And like
Every
that would
time you
be
say Old
just
Chicago, I can't
yeah.
stop thinking about pizza and beer. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure there'll be pizza and beer in Old Chicago there. But all right, that's it for this episode, guys. I think we're done here. So we will see you again next week.
All right. Peace.